call Senate State Affairs to order. It is about 9:06 on the 2nd of April. And present we have Vice Chair Diesel, Senator Cogdill, and I believe Senator Wilikowski is here and will be here. Our order of business today is HDR 11, and then it is my intention to bring up under bills previously heard Senate Bill 48 and to pass it out today. So that's the order we'll proceed on. We've got the A-team here again helping us today on records, Nancy Jones, and coordinating our stuff with the LIO is Sam Greeley. Appreciate you all helping us. Representative Sadler.
Good morning, Senator Dyson, Chair Dyson, and members of the State Affairs Committee. For the record, this is Representative Dan Sadler, District 12. I appreciate hearing HDR 11 this morning. This resolution does a couple things. It commemorates the 30th anniversary of President Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative address to the nation way back on March 23, 1983. President Reagan, of course, believed we should achieve peace through strength, and he called for the nation to develop the ability to intercept and destroy strategic nuclear weapons before they could reach the territory of the United States. You'll recall that his idea was initially mocked and derided as a Star Wars fantasy, but his vision was eventually realized, and the nation did develop and deploy what became better known and better respected as the Strategic Defense Initiative. HDR 11 before you this morning commemorates the 30th anniversary of that speech, calling for the creation of this system, and credits Reagan for his vision. Importantly, HDR 11 also honors the Alaskans who play a critical role in the implementation of this system. The Alaskan National Guard's 49th Missile Defense Battalion up north mans the ground-based mid-course defense system at Fort Greely up in the interior. But while we currently have 26 missiles in silos at Fort Greely, plans had originally called for 40. When President Obama took office in 2009, he stopped short of finishing the deployment of the final 14 interceptors that had been planned. This incomplete system left our nation vulnerable to the threat of the increasingly sophisticated and capable missiles from Iran, from China, and from North Korea. And of course, in recent weeks and months, we've heard increasingly shrill and provocative threats from North Korea to launch missile attacks on our territory, both in Guam and I think recently Texas. They threatened Texas. HDR 11 calls on the current president to deploy the full build-out of 40 missiles at Fort Greely. And amazingly enough, when I consider a demonstration of the power of resolutions, just as we were getting this resolution drafted, the new Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, announced his plans to deploy an additional round of interceptors by 2017, 14 more at Fort Greely and 4 at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And to take other acts, they're going to put a new radar array in Japan, planning an environmental assessment, environmental study of a third site someplace in the continental U.S., and to do some other redeployment of some assets elsewhere in Europe. So it's clear, I think, that President Reagan was right about Star Wars, that our nation did need, and someday we'll be very glad we did have a defense against the threat of ICBM. So, again, this honors Reagan for his vision, commemorates the anniversary of his speech, lauds the missileers and the National Guard up in Greeley, and calls for us to remain vigilant. I appreciate your consideration.
Questions for Representative Sadler? I must comment that I've always been impressed with you, but your ability in this case to affect national policy. And I'm also impressed that the federal government in some way or another knew what was going on in your office and reacted so quickly. Anybody else want, anybody here that wants to testify on this? On HDR 11. Any questions from the committee?
Good idea.
Comments? All right. Chair will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to make the motion to move committee substitute for HJR 11 version 28 LS0641-N from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
The objection? Seeing none, the bill passes. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the document. And are you a representative here from Senator Olson's office? have before us Senate Bill 48. I believe it's the back slash A version, correct? Please identify yourself for the record.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm David Scott, and staff to Senator Olson. And, backslash A is the correct version.
All right. We had this bill before us. As I remember, we have some communities who the communities are really not viable. They have needed to reduce their staff, some perhaps to zero, have no way to fulfill their commitment to pay the retirement cost for PERS, probably PERS TERS employees, and are on the horns of a dilemma. And a bill that was passed, I think 2008, Senate Bill 125 or something like that, was intended to keep communities in this situation or not from gaming the system, as in contracting out public services and then diminishing the capacity of the deposits be made to retirement from employees would go down even further. But the unintended result of these communities that are decreasing in population and economic viability are trapped. So, as I remember, Senator Olson came up with this solution, which is not ideal, but is good or better than anything I could think of, to solve the problem on an ad hoc basis. How close was I?
Mr. Chairman, this is David Scott again. I believe you hit the nail right on the head. There's a, it's a solution to a problem, and if nothing is done, Mr. Chairman, the state will never see the money. The state will never see money that's owed to the PERS if we don't do anything. And it's the bill sponsor. He feels that it's a solution. He doesn't feel that he doesn't want to push through a bad bill. We're still in discussions with the state on how to go about this, and it may change in the next committee. There's a companion bill, another body, and I believe there's a little bit taking a little bit different tack on it, and we're watching it, and we're continuing discussions with the state. We feel that I'll just say that the sponsor doesn't want to push through a bad bill, but he does want to help communities that will not, or in this case, it's two communities that and will never, they'll never get out of the debt they're in at 12% interest. So,
yeah, I think my office distributed to you all a summary of some information we've got back from Mr. Barnhouse. And so, any questions to the committee or comments?
So,
Senator Coghill,
maybe a little explanation on the different tack that the House might be taking, just to let us know comparative, because somewhere along the line these guys are going to meet.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Coghill. The House, I was in talks with the office and the other body who's running that bill, and I believe that they're going to take for those communities that have lost 25% of their population between the two censuses, the 2010, they're going to take the floor that 125, House Bill 125 created a floor in 2008. They're going to take that floor and put it to 2012. And I believe forgive the previous debt. And so it's a different tact. We're watching it, and I believe there's still discussions going on between that office and then the state. If they meet up, there will be further discussions with the sponsor and the state and the sponsor and the other body. So,
thank you.
I don't like the idea that we end up continuing to deal with this on an ad hoc basis instead of recognizing we have a difficult problem and having a structured way of doing it. My understanding in talking to some folks in the administration that they feel a better way might be for us to deal with it every couple of sessions through appropriations to rescue a particular community or group of communities as opposed to a statute change. But the fact that no one has come forward and these folks are on the horns of this dilemma, it is my inclination for us to pass this on to finance, and I'd be surprised if the final bill, whatever it is, gets solved this session. But because nothing apparently has been done in since the 2008, 4 years, there's got to be some pressure on here to make get someone to a solution. Senator Giesel.
Mr. Chair, you have provided some additional information. I would like to hear from Deputy Commissioner Barnhill. Just comments.
Sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mike Barnhill, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Administration. I guess by way of comments, what I can offer is that my office has been in discussion over this particular issue, at least since last fall, directly with Alaska Municipal League and then with the sponsors' aides. I think we have a general recognition that there is a concern here, particularly with respect to those communities such as Galena that have lost a substantial amount of population during the time period in question, and that has definitely put pressure on their ability to pay. There are a variety of solutions. The solution before you is definitely a workable solution. There are other solutions, such as what Mr. Scott just mentioned, advancing the floor to 2012. And then the final solution is simply dealing with this on an ad hoc basis, that is, every year or so, deal with it through an appropriation through the municipal grant program. I think of the array of solutions at this point, we lean towards the latter. And the reason we do is, and I think that's indicated in the memo before you, changing the statute can be permanent, and the concern is that if we provide permanent relief from the 2008 floor to these communities and they experience a population rebound in the future, which may today seem unlikely, but who knows, the military could come back in and reopen a base. There could be a mining find in one or more of these areas that could result in a population rebound. Then there's a fairness issue that we've provided relief to these communities, and now they have the ability to pay. I know that may seem like small comfort today, but the bottom line is we recognize there is a problem, and we would like to get all payments when due.
No.
Just if we were to make an appropriation in this budget, what's the order of magnitude it would be?
Right now, the current amount of the total delinquency, and that doesn't include just salary floor. There's other issues involved here, too. There are about 23 participating employers and PERS that are delinquent for one reason or another, and the total amount of the delinquency is just over $6 million. Of that, a little over $4 million, is the result of penalties and interest. So the principal amount of the that's overdue is between $1 and $2 million. In the larger context of PERS, it's a relatively small number, but when you're administering the program, I think it's a meaningful sum.
So if we were to do that, put $2 million or something less in this budget cycle, Well, the larger question is how would you all determine which communities really deserve to get the bailed out by the state? Well, it certainly wouldn't be all the ones that, well, I'm sorry. How would you answer? How would you sort through them?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if it was just a blank check, we'd probably pay off the bills that were the largest first. But ideally, it would be, I think, better to do it through the municipal grant program and earmark it. That way, we wouldn't have to decide.
Yeah, I probably asked. Wait a minute. Would seem to me we've got to decide which communities are absolutely without option. Measures beyond their control, their economy's gone in the ditch. And those are the ones I would be interested in releasing from their obligation. How are you equipped to make that evaluation?
I suppose there's a variety of ways one could make it. I mean, we could use the standards set forth in this bill as one way of starting. I'm certainly aware of the issue with Galena. They have made their concerns and the challenges they're facing well known to us. So that would be one place we could certainly start.
I realize ICER, a dozen or more years ago, did a study on what makes a viable community. And I know the Denali Commission has some criteria for evaluating what is. Any other questions? We have Greg Moyer from Galena on the line. Greg, can you hear us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Greg Moyer. I am here, my friend.
Greg, my record here shows you're just here to answer questions, but you heard a bit of discussion this morning. Would you comment?
Well, I think from the city standpoint, again, we want to participate, and we are. It's just this is a statute that's in law. This happens every year. If this was a one-time fix, you know, I'd appreciate the opportunity to work with the Department of Administration on this. But this will come up next year and the following year. It's just there's no end to this, so there has to be something set. We're right now our base salary is probably half of what it set by law of 1.5 million. Now it's down in the 700,000 area. So, Mr. Chairman, that would be on my only comment to the committee is that there has to be a somewhat of a permanent fix. Now, that said, I'm with the deputy commissioner. I mean, my goal as a city manager is to build this city, and hopefully one day it's thriving and has a population over 800 or more. It's not unrealistic that could happen. So it probably has to be something built in there. But right now, we just can't pay. And plus, as a city manager, I've got to even cut more to have a viable community and save this city. So I think it gets down, Mr. Chairman, that this law that's currently on the books is an every year. And so if you're going to deal with appropriations, then you'd be dealing with Galena one time each year.
Any questions for Greg? Mr. Barnhouse, will you come back up, please? And Greg, staying on here. Mr. Barnhouse, what does delaying, what's the harm of delaying a decision?
Mr. Chair, the bill just continues to grow. The interest rate is high, as that has been observed here and elsewhere. It's 12%, so it, you know, grows at a 12% rate. The harm to the system is we're going to continue to make benefit payments indefinitely. There isn't necessarily a harm to the system. This issue has persisted now for a couple years, so I don't know that there's particular harm. I will say again, I am concerned about the number of delinquencies increasing up, you know, more than a dozen. You know, now that we're in the, you know, more than 20 range, that concerns me. That level of noncompliance is not something that I think is ideal. And, you know, if that persists for more than a couple years, we do have options in statute which we have yet to utilize, and that is we have a statutory intercept where we can claim monies outbound from the general fund inbound to municipalities. That's, I guess I'd characterize as a fairly abrupt and disruptive option that we're reluctant to do. But from a system administration perspective, if noncompliance becomes more widespread, it may be something that we have to start having discussions about, but that's not where we want to go at this point. We'd rather get voluntary compliance.
Yeah. Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you. So what... what's the administration's position? What should we do? What's your recommendation?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, you have an array of options, and each of these options works. I think our preference today is to deal with it through the appropriation route. If it's the will of the body to pass a statute, you know, that's something we'll have to consider in the fullness of time. Our official position is no position on the bill. We do think something needs to be done here in order to address these concerns.
Sure. We've passed the operating budget. Seems more appropriate an operating item, but is this something that the governor's willing to put in future budgets if we're not going to pass a statutory fix?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, the municipal grant program is always in the capital budget, I think it tends to be the province of the legislature. So if one or more legislators put in a municipal grant covering these funds, I can't speak for the governor on whether what his ultimate action would be on that, but that's certainly a resolution to this issue that I think is appropriate.
Greg Dyson. I suspect an ongoing issue for you is that as the penalties and interest continue to build, that that affects your town's credit rating and is seen as a bit of a liability for folks wanting to invest in your community. Is that right?
Yes, sir, definitely. As we try to come out of this and reuse this base with the current school that's there, plus we're left with a lot of other buildings that I want to go ahead and market. So it has a direct effect on our community that way. It shows on our books. It's a liability I'm not proud of as far as not paying. I see it as just common sense. Here I am cutting the budget to try to save the city and meantime I'm getting penalized and for doing that job. So I truly, Mr. Chairman and the committee members, I think it's going to need I really believe strongly a legislative fix to set something for us. I mean, it could always have I don't know what the sunset. I mean, someday, again, I mentioned that we could grow and yeah, I can, you know, look back in the law. Well, we don't have to pay that. We're now above the salary floor that's been either reestablished or forgiven before. It's just, this is always going to come back every year as a pretty big liability for this city. And, we're just cranking along and, hope for the best. And it's just, you'll be revisiting us every year for a long time, unless we get a legislative fix. And I know it's near the end of the session, but it's something we you know, we're right at the top of the list. Losing that military installation, it's just we need help now. We really do. This would be a big thing for our community and as we move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
I'd just like to add, Mr. Chairman, that
identify yourself.
For the record, again, it's David Scott, Jefferson Earls. And if we did do a single appropriation this year, Galena would still have to pay, according to the 2008 form, they would still have to pay. For say they had 40 employees in 2008 and they only have 20 now, it was up to date for 40 employees even though they have 20. So we can do it via appropriation to help relieve the debt, but their bill will still be to the 2008 floor. Just wanted to put that on the record.
Well, two things are certainly clear to me. One is that the state's going to end up assuming the responsibility when the communities can't. There's no ducking that. The arbitrary floor that was set for good purposes is working against these communities. And my guess is when we end up the state coming up with a solution, we're going to forgive the penalties and probably a significant part of the interest, you know, from these bankrupt communities or nearly so. And Ms. Scott, did you all think about doing something in statute that eliminates the penalties for these communities? I see you're wanting to, you know, deal with interest rate going forward, but how about retroactively?
To the chair or Mr. Chairman, it was obviously discussed. We didn't expressly put it in the bill, though.
Sure.
I'm not saying it may not happen in the next committees or nothing like that, but it's been discussed.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, I'm really certain that we ought not to be penalizing these communities with penalties and interest when they were in a situation they couldn't help themselves. But it seems like probably in your house, somebody's got to be in a position to make a objective evaluation, you know, of who should be relieved from the penalties and interest and who should be bailed out on some level and so on. Sorry, that was all rhetorical, but true, in my opinion. So, committee members, what should we do?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to pass this along to the Finance Committee, and a little bit of that's kind of kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. But the only benefit I can see to a statutory fix such as this is that it makes us have to deal with it. I think this is not the only area that we're going to have to deal with in that whole retirement system. There's no doubt about that. If you do an annual appropriation, then you run into the problem of the municipal grant criteria, which is going to ask for a statutory fix, especially with regard to the retirement system. The only thing that I'm thinking of is I see these dates in here, and so then I have the community in Fairbanks that Eielson is wandering around, and maybe even Fort Wainwright. Somebody from my community might want to come back and push that up, you know, to 2018 or whatever. And then there's a liability on the state that's huge. I mean, it's going to be there anyway, but is this the best fix? I don't know. You know, you still have a payment coming in, I suppose, but I'm hoping we don't have to come for that. But if it's the fix in statute and somebody wants to come back and just amend the dates, that may set us up for some real troubling time. So that would be the only disadvantage of passing the statute along should it come into law. So with that in mind, you know, I kind of like the idea of a budget amendment over this particular thing, because the criteria under the grants at least have to be debated every year. And So I don't know if we want to send a bill forward to the committee with a recommendation, but if we send this bill forward, this becomes a recommendation, would be my guess. So I won't say no, but I'm kind of with Mr. Barnhill. I think if we're going to deal with it, it probably should be done at an appropriation level now, because this sets up a structure that we may not be able to live with in the future. That's kind of the problem I see. Anyway, I don't want to speak against the member's bill necessarily, because I understand Galena's problem. But it sets up a structure that we may not want to live with later on. That's a problem I have.
Unintended consequences, like we're living with what came out of SB 125.
Well, and we may end up having to rewrite that whole thing based on the economy in Alaska. But I hope we don't.
Yeah. So, Mr. Barnhouse, help my memory here. A few minutes ago, when I asked you about how much money, it seemed like you got down somewhere between 1 and 2 million. What did you say?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, somewhere between 1 and 2 million in principal amount that's due as of
1 and 2. Okay, all right. So, Senator Wilkowski,
if there is an appropriation for that amount, then there's still was it $4 or $5 million that's owed, and that's going to be accumulating at 12% interest, right? So we just back next year with $4 million plus 12%. So.
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, you're absolutely right. So if you're going to not change the statute and just deal with it through appropriation, the cleaner way is to pay the entire amount. If the appropriation is simply for the principal amount, we would have to consider what to do there.
Interesting.
Mr. Chair. Follow up?
I'm wondering if one of the things we want to consider is lowering that 12% interest rate. Is that something that you think is still necessary?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, interest rates have been debated in a wide variety of contexts over the last, as long as I've been with the state, going on 15 years. So the purpose of an interest rate can be twofold. The first reason is to compensate the state for the time value of money. Right now, the time value of money is close to zero. We've got historically low interest rates. And so when you're at a 12% rate of interest, it well exceeds compensating the state for the time value of money. There's also a second concept that's inherent in some interest rates, and that is a punitive rate of interest that's designed to elicit compliance. So often you see in statute interest rates that are set at a Federal Reserve plus X, then plus an additional amount of punitive amount in order to encourage compliance. We have a variety of statutes that have fixed interest rates, as this one is 8% plus an additional 50%. And there's, ongoing debate as to whether it should be, as in this bill, tagged to some moving index like the Federal Reserve rate plus something. That's a fine direction to go in, just keeping in mind that there are two elements to interest. One is the time value of money, and one is a rate that's designed to elicit compliance. And so long as some measure of both of those is preserved, I think that's a fine way for the committee to proceed.
So, Mr. Barnhouse, when I asked you how much money was involved, you said $5 or $6 million. And then you said the principal is 1 to 2 million. Does that mean that 3 or 4 million is interest and penalties?
Yes, sir.
Oofta.
Oofta. Well, again, that's that 12%.
Wow.
That 12% rate of interest.
So the way I understand it, Mr. Chairman, is we would be paying ourselves interest basically under an appropriation.
Only government can be this.
So, but if we pass this bill, the way I understand it, and maybe somebody can correct me, if we pass this bill, we're going back retroactively, but we're saying you are going to pay off part of your debt at a certain lower percentage rate. Is that true?
That's correct.
So we're actually going to draw the communities into the payment of this method, with this method, whereas the other method that I began to favor, now I'm losing favor in it, is that we're actually going to pay ourselves for that interest under an appropriation. All right. That makes less sense in the bill, actually. So,
Senator Wilkowski?
Yeah. Where does the interest go? Does that go to the PERS system, or does that go general fund?
Right. Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, it's saying we're paying ourselves is a little bit of a misnomer, because the money goes into a trust fund, which is money held in trust for the benefit of the members of the system. So that's it's not technically correct to say that's state money.
Well, that's an important distinction.
Yes.
So it helps the fund be more viable.
But again, going back to the whole concept of interest, does the fund need the 12%? Well, I mean, the fund needs a lot of things. I mean, it's, you know, the funds are $12 billion underfunded, more or less. And so certainly we could use a 12% rate of interest. But in this context, is it going to meaningfully eat into that unfunded liability? And the answer is no, it is not.
All right. In reading up on this, one of the things that I didn't know and should have, and that is, in our state, municipalities can't go bankrupt. Communities cannot. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, I can't speak to that. I saw the legislative memo that suggested that, but it didn't have quite enough information for me to conclude that. And so without doing a review of the municipal code and looking at whatever statutes they were referring to, I just can't tell you that.
Yeah, in Western law system, being able to go bankrupt is one way out for them. You know, that you don't die, and we've seen lots of structured bankruptcies and so on and so forth. And I understand that that's in court in places like Stockton, California, right now, and so on. And that'd be a very interesting discussion. You know, why? What does our law say, and what should it say? Because bankruptcy is a traditional way for folks that can't pay their bills and to escape this draconian penalties and so on and so forth. So that's a fascinating discussion. I think what I will do with the committee's indulgence, so we will deal with this first thing up on Thursday, and I'm going to ask somebody to give us a little bit of an opinion on the bankruptcy as a solution in our state. And my guess is what we're going to do is a committee has passed this forward with recommendations. And I would like each of you to get some notes to us on what your recommendations would be. And my guess is we are going to collectively decide to tell the administration come up with a long-term solution that's going to fit everybody that is in or going to fall into this situation, you know, and a way to work through it. Am I close?
I think that's a great idea, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chair. I think this is such a complex issue. I think the administration probably knows this best. I think a Band-Aid approach, a capital budget approach every year is the wrong way to go. I think we should try to solve it, fix the problem, do it in a balanced way so that you don't want to let municipalities just ignore their obligations, but at the same time, if there are certain ones that fall into hard times, like Galena, I think we should try to find some relief. So I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Mr. Barnhouse, do you have somebody in the Department of Law that looks after your department?
We, Mr. Chair, have many people in the Department of Law that look after our huge department with so many pressing issues of state.
In Barnhill, yeah. Sorry. So would you pick out a victim? To at least
many good victims.
Somebody you don't like. To discuss with us the issue of bankruptcy.
Sure.
And its status within our state.
You bet.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, might I just suggest we also get maybe Scott Ruby from the Department of Commerce. He runs a division of DCRA. And he knows a lot about
all right.
Community, the Title 29.
So. Yeah, so, and I would prefer we get it done together before noon tomorrow, if we can. Senator Coghill.
On this particular bill, is there language we can put in here if if you get above that threshold, there's a kick-out provision that says if you rise above this threshold again, that you pick back up your obligation. So I don't know if that adds a complexity that we can't live with, but that might be something to look at so that there's some comfort level in this type of a fix that shows you can dip down in there, but if you get out of there, you have to carry your weight.
Mr. Chair, Senator Coghill, that's not a bad idea at all. I seriously doubt, I'd be surprised if the sponsor would be against that. Mm-hmm. I don't view it as a poison pill at all.
Thank you.
It's a prudent measure. So.
All right, there are two or three people here in the audience who have an interest in this. Any of you want to add things for us to think about or work towards the next 2 days? You can either speak now or we can talk offline, but we want your expertise and perspective. Any other comments, questions? Appreciate your indulgence. This might have been actually valuable. We're adjourned.